Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda, and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. For 15 years, Qalam has had a tradition that in the last nights of the month of Ramadan, the blessed nights, we gather together, all the different scholars and teachers and instructors at Qalam all come together to have a night of prayer, reflection, and dua. And we call this the Qalam Qiyam. Alhamdulillah, this has become a beautiful tradition at Qalam. And the following recordings are from the Qalam Qiyam in Ramadan of 2024. I hope and pray that you find this beneficial. As always, please continue to support all the amazing work that goes on at Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد The word for love in the Arabic language is محبة Some scholars have proposed that this word محبة originates from the Arabic word habbatun, which means a seed. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ And love is like a seed. Before you see its fruits, you need to very intentionally, purposefully, place that seed where it belongs. It's a science. Knowing what kind of seed, what kind of soil, what kind of environment. And you bury it far away from the eyes of people. Knowing that as long as you maintain that environment and you keep committed to it, it will sprout. You can't give up on muhabba. Love in a modern context is quite different from the way we look at it Islamically. In today's world, love represents satisfying oneself. So if you listen to all the lyrics of modern day songs, that's what it's about. Self-gratification. And if the other person doesn't fulfill your needs, and if you aren't served in the relationship, then you believe that you've been betrayed and there is no love. But in our deen, the way we look at love, it's quite different. Love has a lot to do with serving others. It has so much to do with being selfless. It's about starting the journey in a meaningful way, not on some shallow, fake, feeble ground. That you're infatuated with one aspect of a person or an idea without looking at it holistically. Love starts from the heart. Where the heart is inclined towards something or someone because they hold something meaningful, where they complete you. And the more a person introspectively reflects, they begin to see this hole inside, this emptiness, that I walk around among people with a massive smile and very nicely, elegantly dressed. But deep in my heart, there is a gap. I'm not sure how to fill it. Hoping that coming to the masjid will solve that, and maybe praying salah will solve it, and reading the Quran will solve it, fasting will solve it. But then the worshiper says that I've been worshiping for decades now, and I still feel that emptiness. It's right there. How do I fill that gap? For that, your ibadah will need muhabba. Because ibadah without muhabba is unfortunately a chore. Therefore, the ulama write that the greatest threat to true ibadah is adah, doing something out of habit. In order for your ibadah to become something special, you have to break the adah, you have to break the habit. So if you're someone who for every salah, reads Surah Ikhlas, change it. If you read Subhana Rabbi al-Azim 3 times, maybe sometimes go to 5. If you say Rabbana lak al-hamd, maybe go a little further beyond that. Mil as-samawati wa mil al-ard wa mil ama baynahuma wa mil ama shi'ta min shay'in ba'd. Because every time you change it, now you have to consciously think, why am I changing it? It's a process. There's a commitment. And when you commit to something, and when you think about it, that I'm doing it for a reason, the action now represents more than a habit. It becomes an external manifestation of what your heart carries. That love that you desire, that love that you yearn for. And love won't come unless you search for it. The love of Allah won't come until you yearn for it. That you're willing to sacrifice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Those who believe are more intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're willing to go anywhere. Because once love settles into your heart, there no longer are any boundaries. Everything changes. Life is full of stress. It's full of anxieties. There are these pulls that our mind and our heart and our body are being dragged in different directions. The easiest way to let go of all of that tension is to just close your eyes for a moment and commit to live for the sake of Allah. The moment you say that I'm doing something only and no other reason but just for Allah, everything else that's pulling you disappears. Because you realize, in reality, it doesn't matter. Finding the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't difficult. It requires intention. Therefore, Sheikh Zakaria Khan Dahlavi rahimahullah wa ta'ala, when he was asked regarding tazkiyah and spirituality, that how do I develop and grow in my spirituality? What is tasawwuf? What does this word even mean? To that, Shaykh al-Hadith rahimahullah ta'ala responded by saying, for everything there is a beginning and an end. The beginning of this path of spirituality starts with the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are based off intentions. So now you start asking yourself, why? Why am I doing this? Why am I going to the masjid? And the one that asks that why more frequently will break through the shackles and the monotony of ada, of habits. But over asking that question could become a trap of shaitan. Because now you no longer believe in anything real, you're just caught in your thoughts. That maybe I'm sincere, maybe I'm not sincere. And you keep asking that question, and shaitan wants you to be caught into loopy, irrational thoughts. This just deflates the potential of the human being. So what does a believer do? The believer doesn't give up on his actions or her actions because they're not sure of their intention. They commit to the action because it's the right thing to do. Yet at the beginning, middle, and end, they beg Allah for sincerity because that is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerity is the first flicker of light that shows that a person is on a path to muhabba. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability to originate the ibadah, not externally, but internally. The example of ibadah without sincerity is like a person with their car in neutral and they're just pushing it, a lot of energy. But there's an easier way to do this. Just use the ignite. Use the ignition. Turn it on. Turn to your heart. Ya Allah, I'm doing this for you. Ya Allah, I struggle, but I'm doing it for you. I'm a broken human being. I struggle. I have a lot of problems. I'm constantly trying to find your love, but it keeps running away from me. Ya Allah, give it to me. Even if it's for a few brief moments. Just like that seed that's there and you just don't give up on it. Every day you come and check up on it. No growth yet. Keep giving it the water it needs. Keep giving it the sunlight that it needs. Keep giving your heart the sajda that it needs. Keep saying in your sajda, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. When it comes to loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it requires some work, like Sheikh Zakaria said that it starts with Innamal a'malu bin niyat. The end of it is worth it. Because the end of this journey of spirituality, he said, was أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَّمْ تَكُن تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Once you keep asking yourself why, the answer will then present itself for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah's sincerity. And then your ibadah becomes as if you see Allah while you worship Him, that you're standing before your Rabb, fidgeting, moving around, wavering thoughts, they all disappear. Or at least they minimize. Because you know that you are doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've answered that. And then we go back to that analogy of this seed. With time, it will sprout. You just have to make sure you give it the right attention. That you don't give up on it. Where the mahabbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may seem difficult, in reality, it isn't that hard if you know what you're looking for. If you know what Allah is looking for in you. One of my teachers would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to offer His love to any believer as long as one condition is met. There's one key condition. Without this one thing, there is no mahabbah for you. It's not possible. You cannot have the love of Allah with this one barrier. But if you're able to overcome that one barrier, and the more you overcome it, the more you control it, the more Allah Azza wa Jalla will give your heart His love. And what is that one thing? Kibr, pride. Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. Allah doesn't like people that are full of themselves. People who are just self-centered, narcissistic type people. People who think the world evolves around them. Rather than understanding that their mere existence means nothing. Earlier today, I buried a friend of mine. Just today. And as we drove away from the grave, another chapter in this world closed. Another legendary human being. Someone who had such an influence at the janazah today. There were thousands of people at that janazah. I went to meet him on his deathbed a few days ago. He was never seen without the beard. He loved his beard. He followed that. He saw his beard as his testimony of love for the Prophet of Allah. Due to his health condition, the chemo did a toll on him. So he didn't want anyone to see him in that state. He said, I don't want anyone to see me without my beard. And then I sat next to him and he held my hand and barely able to speak. And he asked me one question that, Mufti Saab, did I make the right decision in my life? The guy's lying there, getting ready to leave the world. And that question of his was in relation to a decision that he had made regarding medical intervention. And the only thought that on his mind was that I spent my life in obedience of Allah. I hope I didn't disobey Allah in these final moments. Then the other people that were in the room, he said two things to them. He turned to half of them and said, forgive me if I've done you wrong in any way at all. And then to the other group, he said, promise me that you will continue to serve our masjid. Don't give up on it. The ummah needs the masajid. This was the man's final words. He's lying on his deathbed and he's thinking about whether he obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concerned about his forgiveness, and is worried about serving the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give His love to one that is humble. He will give it in amazing ways, in ways that you can't even imagine. That's how Allah's love will come to you, but you have to eradicate that arrogance. Remove it. Haqiqatan, in reality, the preconditional wasf to mahabba is ubudiyah. That you have to understand the entire corpus of ibadah that we engage in, and all the readings that we do, and all the dua, and all the raising of your hands, and all the whispering in your sajda, and every time you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you're actually working on one thing. All of your ibadah is actually leading you to one thing, and that is for you to realize in this world you are nothing more than a mere slave and servant of Allah. End of discussion. That's all it is. All five salawat is just that reminder. We start by saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than everything. And then like a humble servant standing before his master, singing the praise of your Lord, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. And it isn't till the third and fourth verse that we even acknowledge our presence in that salah. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. But before we make any ask from Allah, we start off by stating the reality, Iyyaka na'bud, you alone I am a servant of, ubudiyya. Ibn al-Qayyim's book, Madaruj al-Salikin, the stations of those that seek. The name of the book is Madaruj al-Salikin, Baina manazili iyyaka na'bud wa iyyaka nasta'in. That the whole spiritual framework of Islam lies between Baina manazili iyyaka na'bud wa iyyaka nasta'in. The journey starts with iyyaka na'bud. Ya Allah, I will always be yours. I may disobey, I may sin, I might do wrong things in life, I might mess up here and there, but Ya Allah, I promise every time I sin, it's not in disobedience to you. Every time I sin, Ya Allah, I promise I will never sin in rebellion to you. Every sin of mine will be a result of my weakness and because I succumb to my nafs, not because I'm angry at you or I'm trying to turn against you. Only a kafir would disobey Allah like this. A believer never would. Ya Allah, my sin is not a testimony of my rebellion. It's just a sign that I'm weak. But I'm going to do istighfar and tawbah because I love you and you love those that are humble. And my istighfar is my mantra of humility. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. This is why the ulama recommend excessive istighfar, because it's a mantra of humility. It's acknowledgement of your state, where you are, and where you want to go. Bayna manazili iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. A person is only worthy of asking from Allah once they've understood their place in this equation. So now for salah, we start from standing and then we bow down, whispering Subhana Rabbil Azim, and then crumpled like a piece of paper on the ground in the posture of sajda, whispering into the earth, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Glorified is my Lord, the Most High. And that word Rabbi being patched into sajda is the work of ubudiyya, because the opposite of ubudiyya is rububiyya. Ubudiyya means to be a slave and servant of Allah, and the opposite of that is acknowledging the rububiyya, the mastership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you humble yourself, the more you understand that your opinion, your thought isn't the final. That my philosophy, my political ideology, your political ideology, all these things are just ideas. That's what they are. Someone thought they got it right yesterday, another person will think they'll get it right tomorrow. Our time in this world is limited. When we were sealing off that grave earlier today, his wife was there, his children were there, his grandkids were there. He chose to be buried next to his 2-month-old granddaughter. And before we lowered the soil on his body, I shared with them that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, 3 things follow a person to their grave. 2 of them return, only 1 remains. When the body is carried for burial, their wealth, their family, and their deeds follow. Their wealth leaves. Their family will sit there, they'll cry. They'll leave. Right now, that graveyard's empty. The only thing that'll remain are your deeds. What'll remain is your love for your Allah. And Allah loves those that are humble. Allah loves them. So tonight, as you spend this night making dua and listening to lectures, if you find yourself in a place of being able to whisper a few du'as to Allah, make du'a to Allah that He makes you humble, that He helps you actualize your ubudiyya, that Ya Allah, I am your servant. Every salah you're in, just go a little deeper into your ubudiyya. When you're reading Quran, not on a throne, but in a humbled posture. When the Prophet of Allah would eat, he would lean forward, ubudiyya. When the Prophet of Allah would walk, humbly, when he would sit in a humble fashion, his garments were humble. The way he spoke, humble. When someone was over the top with their speech. هلك المتنطعون. He didn't like it. Everything with humility. I'm going to conclude with a hadith of the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. من تواضع لله رفعه الله. Whoever humbles themselves for Allah, Allah will elevate them. And there is no elevation greater than the love of Allah. وَمَن تَكَبَّرَ And whoever is arrogant, وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ Allah will destroy them and drop them right down. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with that humility. May He elevate us among His friends. May He place His love in our hearts. May He take us by our forelock to His obedience. May He allow the dhikr to be the most beloved to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turn us away from disobedience and sin. May He accept our ibadah in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us back to the masajid again and again out of His divine guidance. Keep us in the company of those that draw us close to Him. May He bless us with good actions in this world and give us the best of our deeds as we depart. May He meet us on the Day of Judgment with His joy and happiness and pleasure and grant us the highest gardens of Jannat al-Firdaus with those that He truly loves. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.